So we are going to start the Dhamma sermon, and today it's a new topic, and that is called another sutta coming from Sutta Nipata. And probably you can remember last time we have completed Karaniya Metta Sutta, and now we are going to next sutta. Next to Karaniya Metta Sutta is this Hemavata Sutta. So this is a very interesting sutta because it is a discussion between two yakas. So during the Buddha's time, so there are different, we can say, groups, different beings, and there may be yakas available even today, but their presence is not that known anyway. Now they are here, actually they are, we can call as two yakas, but they are, we can say, as generals of yakas. They are not the typical ordinary type of, but rather they are two generals of yakas, and their names are mentioned here. One is called Satagira, the other one is called Hemavata. Actually, a very interesting story is behind these two yakas, and they too, during the Kassapa Buddha's time, it is mentioned that they too were monks, and they too not typical monks, they too are very Vinaya related, what you call more monastic code related, more discipline related monks, and they are supposed to sometimes give certain decisions related to the Vinaya. Because you know, sometimes monks are getting into arguments, monks are getting into quarrels, monks are getting into various disputes. On such occasions, there are certain monks appointed by the Sangha. Sometimes we call them as Sangha officials. And such adhikaranas, such conflicts, such matters, Sangha matters, are being sort of settled by certain monks. So they have some kind of a refutation already. They have spent fair amount of time in the sasana. So likewise, they are more respected sangha members, and these two persons are also something like that. But one occasion there is one monk who arrived them, but he is not a good monk, but he tried to bribe them in a way. So he tried to convince them not to take action against him. Somehow he managed to convince them. Somehow he managed to stop them taking any action against them. And then he returned back to the monastery where he had a kind of a argument, kind of a conflict with another more righteous monk. And later, when that righteous monk arrived, these two venerables, in order to complain against that previous monk, so these two monks didn't accept. They actually taken the side of that previous monk. So taking kind of a partial decision. So their decision, their conclusion was fairly partial. Very much like being bribed. So at that time, this righteous monk who came with the complaint, he accused them, telling that you have taken the wrong side, and you have taken a side of a person, but you haven't taken the side of the Dhamma. You should have taken the side of the Dhamma. You should be more righteous. You should be more reasonable. You should consider the facts. You should be reasonable. But unfortunately, you haven't been that. Rather, you have taken the side of a particular cheaty person, a cunning person. So he basically accused these two, and he went back. So later, this incident has become a great regret, great kind of a problem to these two monks. So they were regretting what they have done, because they are supposed to give a impartial solution, consider both sides, and give a proper solution, take a proper decision. But unfortunately, they have taken a side of a one person, with some kind of a inclination bias, so they have given a solution, so that is completely wrong. So later they were regretting about what they have done. So what happened later, during the passing away time, so because of that little bit of wrong activity, and they have become these two yakkas. But in a way, since they are already monks and maintaining some good sila, even though at this particular place they were being biased, so there were kind of good and bad, but they couldn't come to a more celestial level, come to a more wholesome level because of that bad activity, giving wrong decisions, partial decisions, biased decisions. As a result of that, now they became two yakkas, generals of yakkas. Now two of them are living close by, and somehow they again become good friends. So they get to know, okay, they were living a monk's life during their previous life, and now they understood that they are very well knowing each other during their previous life, and now they have kind of a agreement between these two. If someone is knowing good Dhamma, if someone have come across good Dhamma, so that Dhamma has to be exposed to the other yakka, other friend. That's the agreement. Basically, if he meet a good teacher, if he meet good Dhamma, know something good, so that has to be exposed, that has to be taught to the other part. So that kind of an agreement was there with them, between these two. And one day, this Satagira yakka, so he saw the arising of the Buddha, the Gautama Buddha. You know, the Kassapa Buddha was immediately before our Buddha, Gautama Buddha. And these yakkas are with long life, so they were spending long life. And they have seen how Kassapa Buddha's sasana declined, disappeared. And now the Gautama Buddha appeared, and now he is making his first preaching, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So the various miracles have happened. So all these things these yakkas have noticed. And particularly this Satagira started having faith on Buddha, the Gautama Buddha. And they too already know what is sasana, what are the good things, what are the proper samadhi, because they too were monks for long time. So as a result of that, so there is a considerable amount of merit power, considerable amount of knowledge with respect to the monkhood they too are possessing. Now on one occasion, when this Satagira is suggesting to Hemavata to go and meet the Buddha. So this is happening as a kind of a conversation, very beautiful dialogue between these two. Ajja panna raso uposato dibba ratti upatthita anoma namang sattharang handa passama gotamang. So he mentioned today is the uposata day, the full moon day. And he is suggesting to Yakka Satagira, so like a celestial night, let's go and see the Gotama, the Buddha, who is the perfect teacher. And but the Hemavata still don't have much idea about the Buddha. He hasn't seen him. He don't yet develop faith. Now he is asking various questions from Satagira. So he is asking, Kacchi mano supanihito, supanhito, sabba bhutesu thadino, kacchi itte anitte cha sankappassa vasikata. Now he know about sasana, he know the state of the Buddha. He has some understanding, some prior knowledge taken from previous lives. So now he is asking certain questions to verify whether it is he is a proper Buddha, he is a correct Buddha, not a fraud one. He is the best, he is a Sammasambuddha. Now he want to verify. As a result of that, he is asking so many questions. Kacchi mano supanihito. So is the mind impartial? So you can remember that they were troubled because of their partiality in the mind. They being biased. So that's why they had to become yakkas. Now he is asking, how about the Buddha's mind? is it completely impartial? Sabba bhute susadino. And for all the beings, all the living beings, is the Buddha capable of maintaining kind of equanimity? Kachit itte anitte cha sankappassa vasikata. Whenever mind come across, the body come across favorable and unfavorable conditions, desirable and undesirable conditions, is he maintaining kind of equanimity? Is he capable of coping with it? Or he's asking. Now, Satagira already met Buddha. He has enough faith on the Buddha. So he's answering. Mano chasta subanihito sabba bhute sutadino. Atho itte anitte cha sankappassa vasikata. So he's mentioning, yes, his mind is well established. He is impartial. His mind is unbiased. And sabba bhute sutadino, he is well disposed towards the beings. He has no attachments towards anyone, neither he has any resentment towards anyone. Atho itte anitte cha sankappassa vasikata. So he is completely equanimous to the extremes, either to the good side, to the bad side, the vicissitudes of the life. He is completely maintaining a tadi, kind of equanimous state, kind of a balanced state, steady state of mind. And further, now Hemota is asking various questions. Kachi adinnang nadiyati, kachi panesu sanyato, kachi ara pamadam ha, kachi jhanang narinchati. Now you can see the questions are fairly deep questions, again relevant questions to the sasana, to a monk. So these questions represent that their knowledge about the monkhood. So he's asking whether this so-called Buddha, is he completely free from stealing? He's not taking anything not given. Kachi panesu sanyato, and is he well controlled, well restrained regarding all the living beings? There is no attachment, there is no any resentment. Because all the living beings, he is having a completely controlled state of mind. Kachi ara pamadam ha kachi jhanang narinchati. And is he completely far from heedlessness? He is completely heedful. Is he completely heedful? And is he not rid of jhana? He maintains the proper jhana. Either it may be samatha, vipassana. So is he maintaining that? So then Satagira answers. Naso adinnang adiyati. Atho panesu sanyato. Atho ara pamadamha. Buddho jhanang narinchati. So he mentioned, Naso adinnang adiyati. He never steals. He is not taking whatever is not given. And towards all the beings, he is maintaining the restraint. He is not being attracted, not being repelled. He is capable of maintaining that stability, equanimity. And he is very far from the pamada. He is very far from the heedlessness. He is completely heedful. And buddho jhanang narinchati, he is not devoid of jhana. So he time to time maintains the seclusion. Dwelling emptiness and all these things are there. So therefore he is not rid of jhana. Now when this yakka came with the further question, kachi musana bhanati, kachi na hina vyapattu, kachi vebuyitang naha, kachi sampang na bhasati. Now these are related to the speech. Is he avoid speaking falsely? Not making any musavada, not intentionally lying. Is he not speaking rough? And is he not speaking anything destructive? And is he not doing any kind of idle chatter? Well, these are the points related to the speech. Now he is asking related to the speech. Now then, Venerable, this Yakka Satagira answers, musacha no, so na bhanati ato na kina byapato ato ve bhuitang naha manta atang cha bhasati. So he mentioned he is not speaks falsely and his way of speaking is not rough. He does not say what is destructive and he speaks only what is meaningful. So Buddha's words are meaningful. He never lie, never slander, not making any comment which is destructive, harmful to the others. So likewise, now Satagira explains the purity in speech. Kacchi na rajyati kamesu, kacchi chittang anavilang, kacchi mohang atikkanto, kacchi dhammesu chakkuma. A very interesting way that he is trying to verify whether it is he is the true Buddha. Kacchi na rajyati kamesu, doesn't he have any kind of an attachment towards the sensual pleasures? Doesn't he have any sensual desires in other terms? And kacchi chittang anavilang, is his mind completely unsullied, maintaining the purity, complete maintaining balance, steadiness? Is he maintaining that kind of balanced mind, pure mind? Kacchi mohang atikkanto, kacchi dhammesu chakkuma. So he has complete destruction of moha, overcome delusion, and does he have the proper vision of related to the phenomena? Now he is asking various questions. Now Satagira answering, naso rajyati kamesu, he is not having any attachment, any desire related to the sensual pleasures. Atho chittang anavilang, and his mind is unsullied. Sabbamoham atikkanto, and he has surpassed all the delusions. He has overcome all the delusions. Buddho dhammesu chakkuma, and Buddha has the vision of phenomena. Now, further he asks, kacchi vijjaya sampanno, kacchi sansuddha charano, kacchissa asava kina, kacchi natti punabbaho. He is asking, do he has the vijjacharana qualities? Does he has the proper knowledge, clear knowledge? And does he have the pure conduct, bodily conduct, verbal conduct, mental conduct? Is he pure in his conduct? And the necessary knowledge, is he endowed with? Is he possessing the necessary supramundane knowledge? Kachisa asava akhina. He has completely free from cankers, asavas, influxes. Kachi natti punabbavo, is there for him no renewed existence, no more lives, no more rebirth for him? You can see the questions are very deep questions, very philosophical questions, and that represents their knowledge about the Dhamma, about the results, and if one practices good Dhamma, correct Dhamma, these should be the results. So he is asking whether, verifying whether Buddha possesses all these. Vijjaya cheva sampanno, ato sansuddha charano, sambhasya asava kina, nakti tasya punabbahu. Now he here, Satagira answers, vijjaya cheva sampanno, ato sansuddha charano, and he has all the necessary knowledges. Not only that, he has the proper conduct, pure in conduct. Sabbasa asava khina, all the influxes have been destroyed. Natti tasa punambhav, he doesn't have any future birth. Sampannang munino chittang, kammuna vyapatthena, vijjacharana sampannam dhammato nam pasansati. The muni's mind is accomplished with respect to action and way of speech. In accordance with the Dhamma, you praise him, one accomplished in clear knowledge and conduct. Now he further explains here, Satagira further explains, that the Buddha is endowed with the knowledge, he is having proper conduct, and you can actually praise him as he has all these vijja charana qualities. Sampannang munino chittang kammuna vyapatthena cha vijja charana sampannang handa passama gotama. Now he is suggesting, okay, Buddha is endowed with this kind of qualities, he is maintaining this kind of a rapport, and his mind is so clean, clear, pure. So let's go and meet him. Now he is suggesting. And further, he is encouraging. Any janghang kisang virang, appaharang alolupang, muning vanasming jhayantang, ehi passam gotama. Now he further explains good qualities of the Buddha. Any janghang kisang virang, and he is with antelope calves, slender, a hero, eating little, and he has no greed. And he only takes the necessary amount of food. He has no greed towards any of the foods, any of the nutriments. And now he is in the forest. Muning vanasmin jhayantam. He is now meditating in the forest. Ehi passama gotamam. Let's go and see the Gotama. Let's go and see, meet Gotama, the Buddha. Sihang vekacharang nagang kamesu anapekhitam upasankamma puchchama machupa sabpamochana. Now, let's go and ask certain questions. Having approached the Naga, that is the Buddha, who is like a lion, and he is behaving alone. Anapekkinang, he has no attachment to anyone else. He is not even expecting any support. He is like a naga, a king, like a lion. And let's approach him and ask various questions. Akkhatarang pavattarang sabba dhammana paragum buddhang vera bhayatitang mayang pucchama gotamang. Now again and again, now Satagira is suggesting to Hemavata that let's go and meet the Buddha. He is now trying to convince him. Now that is represented in this verse. So let us ask the Gotama, the expounder, the instructor, and gone beyond all phenomena, the Buddha who has overcome enmity and peril. So all the time, so it's a different praise towards the Buddha is given. Now Satagira is now trying to convince Hemavata, let's go and meet the Buddha. Now they are approaching the Buddha, both of them going there. Now Hemavata is asking a question. Kisming loko samuppanno, kisming kubbati santhavang. Kissa loko upadaya, kisming loko vihanyati. Now he is asking a general question. Kisming loko samuppanno. In what has the world arisen? Based on what the world has arisen? Kisming kubbati santhavang. And based on what it is maintaining, kind of an intimacy, close association, what this loka is closely associating. Kissa loke upadaya, kismin loke vihanyati. Now, having clung to what in this world, afflicted in regard to what? Now, whenever one is attached to something, he getting afflicted, he getting kind of burdened, he starts suffering. Is going through some unsatisfaction, going through some pain. So what are those things? Where the mind go and cling? Where the mind go and grasp? What are those things? Based upon what? Attaching to what? The mind getting clung. Mind feel unsatisfied. And now Buddha is answering. Chasu loko samuppanno. Chasu kubbati santhavang. Channameva upadaya chasu loko vihanyati. Now he is giving a kind of philosophical answer. He is telling that six sense bases, we can say, six contacts, i.e. ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. So these are the internal six sense bases. And similarly, there are external sense bases corresponding counterpart, that is forms, or rather sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tangibles and mental objects. So these are the world actually. So this Ajjhattika Ayatana and Bahiddha Ayatana, the internal bases, faculties or and external faculties, external sense bases, so they prepare the world. That is the world. And so Buddha mentioned, Chasu Loko Samuppanno. Based on this six, the world has arisen. And Chasu Kuppati Santavang. And in this six, the one is maintaining kind of an intimacy, a close relationship. Channameva Upadaya. And they attach to that six. So when the eye sees a beautiful sight, so it is approaching there, exploring that, attaching to that, holding that, grasping that. When one hears a sound, one starts exploring that, investigating that, attaching to that, ultimately holding that, grasping that. So similarly, when one is going through some good smell, you start exploring, approaching, ultimately desiring, grasping, holding to that. So likewise, so those external sense bases, the sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tangibles and the mental objects, so those are the ones you are being attracted, you are making delighted, and ultimately you grasp, you're being hindered, you're being trapped. And as a result of that, you are getting afflicted by these six. Now this is what Buddha has answered, and some more verses are there, we'll discuss them later. And with that, I like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon. So it is very much today an approach, an introduction about the Buddha, how two persons are discussing about him, and one is trying to convince and the other one is asking some various questions. And after going and meeting the Buddha, they are asking questions and Buddha is answering. So now I like to open the session for questions.
So, Bhante, we have four questions so far.
Right.
Number one out of four. This is on walking. Dear Bhante, my walking mindfulness practice these days seems quite turbulent, without much focus and collectedness. Even though I could keep attention on the walking process, there is not much calmness and serenity, I observed some time back. My mindfulness seems thinly spread across a wide space. Often I get distracted by thoughts and I bring back focus to the walking. Is it a bad thing to expect that the little practice we do should bring some relaxation and calmness to our lives? With metta, that's the end of the question.
No harm. I mean, you can expect that. It depends on how much you are involved in the practice, and even through the practice you are expecting some happiness, some clarity, some calmness, relaxation. That's quite obvious. So that those are the rewards, we can say, benefits of the practice. You can expect that, no harm. But later, more and more these rewards become available to you. But now you are searching for them, you are trying to arouse them, and you are trying to generate them. Because still the power of hindrances are so high, as a result of that you can't enjoy that quite often. But time to time only you get the proper balance, time to time only you are experiencing that. So still they appear like very far from you. But later you start enjoying them, you start maintaining them, possessing them. So those are like that. So, I mean, no harm. You can have a little expectation. But if you are maintaining a very strong expectation, say while meditating, okay, you want to achieve something. You want to accomplish something. You are maintaining a very strong target. So, such expectation can become a burden. So, that is a kind of a bottleneck to your practice. So, therefore, in the practice, just have an open mind. Just receiving mind, accepting everything. So you are ready to accept whatever happens. So you are not expecting the same results what you experienced yesterday. Rather, whatever happens right now, those are all fresh experiences, new experiences, and you are ready to accept them. So that kind of an attitude is quite useful.
Question number 2 of 4. This is a Dhamma Saman question. Dear Bhante, last time you explained about how one can use the final stage of Metta meditation, Metta Cheto Vimukti status, as a platform to do Vipassana. Bhante mentioned that this is similar to the popular method in the monastery using the body. Much merits if you can explain this body-based Cheto Vimukti platform, as I am unable to understand the complete picture here. Much merit, Bhante, for your valuable service. That's the end of the question.
Now, in the typical Satipatthana, Kayanupassana, so Buddha reiterates the result of the practice. So, the result of the practice he mentioned, let me show you so that it is more convenient. Let me show you in Sinhala, by the way, for the time being. So here, you can see this is Anapanasati. So here, Samudaya Dhammanupassīvā kāyasmin viharati, Vaya Dhammanupassīvā kāyasmin viharati, Samudaya Vaya Dhammanupassīvā kāyasmin viharati, Atti kāyoti vā panasya sati pachu pattitā hoti, yāva deva jñāna mattāya patissati mattāya, anisitocha viharati nacakinci loke upādhi. Anisitocha viharati nacakinci loke upādhi. Now, these are the certain specific results with respect to kāyanupassana, which is common to each and every kammatthāna in kāyanupassana. I mean, you may go through various different kinds of practices, but ultimately, the end result is that you recognize, okay, this is a body. It's not my body. So this body depends on various conditions, various causes, and you are using the body in order to further enhance your mindfulness and to arouse further wisdom. Yava deva jnana mattaya patissati mattaya, and to establish mindfulness further in refine your mindfulness further, and as a result of that, now you are continuing the practice, and now one day, one time, you may experience anisitocha viharati. So mind starts not associating anything and not grasping anything. So this state is now common to anapanasati, dhatu manasikara, asubha, iriyapata, everywhere. So this statement is common. Similarly to the Vedanupassana, similar to Chittanupassana, similar to Dhammanupassana. So this state, when you are developing, trying to maintain, so there is no any grasping to the mind, there is no limit to the mind, there is no boundary to the mind. Mind is fairly open, no stress, no tension, quite relaxed. And again, it's very much like open, pervaded kind of awareness. So these are the different stages that you may experience as you are continuing this process. So that is similar to what we call as Metta Cheto Vimutti, but there are differences. You know, in Metta Cheto Vimutti, the quality of loving kindness may be fairly significant. So you went through the samatha process, you were conditioning the mind towards loving kindness, and you are spreading metta towards a group of people, to many people, to all the beings, to this direction, that direction, to all the directions. So likewise, systematically you have opened up yourself, expanded your mind, expanded your vision, expanded your what you call the awareness. So that has no boundary now, no limit. So similarly, if you look back in Kayanupassana, so as you are developing that state, unattached state, non-grasping state, unassociated state for a long time, now there also you reach the same thing. So there is no attachment, there is no grasping, there is no holding, There is no footing to the mind. There is no establishment to the mind. It's quite open, spreaded. Spreaded awareness, open awareness is available. So there are some similarities between these two. So in the Vipassana at that level, so you can use that as a base, as a reference for further purifying one's mind. So in the loving kindness based meditation also, you can use the same approach. So you are using that as the base, and that, based on that, now you are further developing Vipassana, you are recognizing various defilements. So that is what I want to mention.
Question number 3 of 4. This is a general question. Dear Bhante, can you explain what is Manasikara and how it relates to the observations in our practice? With metta, that's the end of the question.
Yeah, Manasikara is you are diverting your attention. You are paying your attention onto a particular direction, onto a particular phenomena. So that is necessary. Say, assume that there are many things available. Say you are walking. So while walking, there are many things available. In front of you, there may be other yogis. And in front of you, on the walking path, there may be ants. Say, and you may be experiencing wind. And you may be walking through, and you may be experiencing kind of flies or butterflies or monkeys or whatever those things. At the same time, you may be experiencing the sensations of your foot. And not only that, you may experience breathing. You may experience the touching of the clothes. So many, many things are there. So among these, to where are you focusing your attention? To where are you keeping your attention? So that is where the decision comes to the Manasikara. So you select among these many different experiences, you select only a particular experience. Say that is the sensations happening at your soles, at your foot. So that is where you are keeping your attention, and that is the Manasikara. Okay.
Question number 4 of 4, this is the last question, written question today. Dhammasana question. Dear Bhante, we come across two similar words in Sutta often, Kamachanda and Nandiraga. What is the difference between Kamachanda in defilements and Nandiraga in the very first Sutta and many others? Many other Suttas, Bhante. That's the end of the question.
Yeah, I mean, they are closely attached, closely coupled. Kamachanda is simply you have a desire to some sense pleasures or some, sense chords. Says to beautiful sights, beautiful sounds, beautiful odors, pleasant odors, good tastes, and pleasant tangibles. To those, actually, you have kind of a desire, kind of an attraction, kind of a craving. So that is Kamachanda. But the Nandiraga means, so when you have that, you are getting delighted. Say when you are attached to that, when you are keeping your attention there, when you are further and further associating that, there is a kind of a delight arising. So that is why we are being attracted to that. And I mean, there is some sort of delight there. So that's why we are being attracted to that. That's why we are associating that, because of that delight. Born of raga, born of lust. You are associating a particular object. As a result of that association, entanglement, attachment, you are experiencing some kind of a happiness, but that happiness is colored by lust. That is called Nandiraga. Nandiraga sahagata. Tatra tatrabhi nandini. Sayyatidam kama tanha bhavatanha vivavatanha. So the one property of tanha is that where the mind get attracted, where the mind get hooked up, grasped, so there you enjoy some kind of a delight, some kind of a happiness, but it is defiled by lust. Hope you understood.
We just got another one question, Sainatha, related to the Manasikara. So it says, Bante is manasikara associated with the attitude of the mind as well.
We can say, I mean, there can be a certain influence coming from your attitude. Now, say, for example, you are searching for a bride. Now, your manasikara is going and searching a nice looking girl. So your manasikara is depending on your attitude. Now, suppose you are now searching a good car because your car is quite old. And you are now searching a good model of, say, modern one. So you are always searching that and you immediately assume that you locate something and now immediately your mind is attached to that. So basically that the attachment, or rather the manasikara, can have kind of an influence coming from what you are requiring, what you want, what you are looking for, what you are searching for. And that is what you are more interested. As a result of that, once you are accidentally locate that, so immediately you pay more attention to that. So your manasikara is now purely attached to that or directed to that. So therefore we can say yes, manasikara can have a kind of an influence coming from what you are looking for, what you are searching for, and what is the attitude that you are maintaining.
So that's the end of the questions for today, Mante, I think, because we will end the program now.
Fine.
Yeah. So first, I would like to thank Mante for his valuable time and joining us for this program. Also to the organizers, both seen and unseen, who support this program. And also then to the participants who joined today and also practice and submit their question. Terwan Sarnai. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yeah, Terwan Sarnai.